With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, y'all, it's the Annie Fry Show. Welcome aboard. My name is John Hancock. I'm going to be your cruise director for the next 3 days here, filling in for Annie, the recent mother. And joining me, of course, Katie Fitzpatrick. Katie, how are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for coming in with us today,
John.
Oh,
it's my absolute pleasure. Ryan Wiggins is over there for a little bit. He's got a big day coming up. We're going to talk about that. What's cooking, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm wearing a visor today.
It's,
and so
it's
that's
all about the visor.
But Katie keeps making fun of me. I haven't been here for that long, and she's gotten about 4 or 5 shots in me already.
Wow.
At just wearing a visor. So if you're.
It's a fine looking visor.
If you're on the webcam,
you can see the visor.
Beautiful
yes.
Visor. But I'm wearing a Cardinal shirt also.
Also lovely.
Because I get to go down to the ballpark today, and I don't know, like, hit balls that a real major league pitcher is going to throw to me, which means I won't hit any unless he's just sort of lobbing them. Well, I don't know. I'm doing something at the ballpark today.
If it's most of the Cardinal bullpen pitchers, you'll probably get some hits.
And I'll get more hits than the actual players are.
No doubt about that.
Double dig.
So I'm driving down here today. This is my first time. I started off on 97.1. 18 years ago, filling in for Charles Jaco.
Wow.
And I was, if you think I'm bad now, you should have heard me 18 years ago. So I'm driving down here today. People are crazy. I mean, people are absolutely crazy. So apparently, I have a blind spot on my driver's side. And apparently, I cut somebody off changing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he was not very pleased and started wildly gesticulating in my rearview mirror. And he was not happy. And then he whips around and then he cuts me off and then he slows down. And I'm thinking, you know, buddy, I'm sorry. You know, a bad, you know, bad moment. Nothing. Nobody get killed here. But people on the roads, I don't know what's the matter with people. I mean, it's horrible. And it seems to me like it's getting worse. And there is absolutely no police on the side of the roads.
Mm-hmm. When you're driving, did this happen in the city? Sort of.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, right around that where it changed with Skinker area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
knowing in the back of your head anyway that there's less police out there. And again, I don't know if that would actually be true in a situation like this, but it's kind of like in the back of your head that maybe there's not as much police support right now because of politics. Are you the kind of person who, when that happens, and somebody like gets really mad at you, do you back off because you're like, whoa, I'm not going to get an altercation
yeah,
here?
Yeah, no, last thing on my list of things that I wanted to do today, getting shot is not on that list.
Yes, correct.
And you don't know this wildly, you know, the guy apparently thought I was number one because he kept, you know, and so But he was not happy, and he was letting me know. He rolled the window down when he passed me and hollering out the window.
What?
And continued calling me number one there.
Man.
And so, yeah.
It was really that upset. See, I mean,
I cut him off. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. But that happens. You're on a highway.
Did you give him a wave? Like, hey, I know I did
it.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah. He was waving
back. He didn't care.
He was waving back. So, you know.
He was waving something back.
Yeah. So I don't know. But, yes, to answer your question, I'm not going to engage somebody that's in that state of mind.
See,
I don't know.
I've gotten better as I've gotten older. But, man, I don't know if I'm just competitive, which is going to be great because I'm going to play Cardinal baseball
today.
But there are times that even if my wife was in the car, kids, that's what's changed it.
Yes.
Having kids has changed it because I remember times driving with my wife where somebody would do – it's usually if somebody does something to me. If I do something that I know I'm in the wrong, sorry about that. I'll wave at you. Hopefully you know that I'm apologizing in some way. But if somebody does something and then they get mad at me.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lose it. And I've gotten into, like streetcar, you know, like, I'm going to tailgate you to let you know that you're wrong.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
What kind of car do you drive?
Weird. Well, at the time, I was driving a green Ford Taurus.
That wasn't you
so
today.
Not on Highway 40.
It wasn't Wiggins today.
No, I'm not like flipping people off. But what angers me is like the injustice of it. If somebody does something
they're
to
wrong,
you,
and they're mad at you.
Yeah, and then they get mad at you.
It's like being married.
Wait a minute, what the heck? Yeah, and then I remember in this particular instance, we were coming back from a vacation in somewhere in Missouri, and we were driving east on 64, and my wife was in the car, and she was like, Ryan, you have got to calm down.
Gotta chill out.
And I was like, you don't get it. You don't get that this person's in the wrong. She's like, I'm fully aware that this person's in the wrong.
So I'm such a bad driver, and I hate to admit that I get lost. I don't know east, west. No, I mean, I'm just terrible. I had a client in town. And we had three meetings. I got lost in between each meeting in St. Louis
with my
client who had great confidence. So, how about you, Katie? Good driver?
I am a decent driver. I think my husband would say I'm a really bad driver. But to me, my own prerogative, I think I'm pretty decent. And I hardly ever get upset on the road. There are a couple things that make me upset that I'm like, oh, like that's like the stereotypical, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But I have never engaged in any kind of back and forth or argument with anyone. And I believe you mentioned waving. That kind of etiquette is totally gone now.
Yeah.
Nobody waves at each other anymore. Like a friendly, like, oh, you let me in? Here's a little wave for you. Thank you. I do that all the time.
I do it too.
I want that to live on. I think that is such a nice gesture and a polite thing that doesn't happen often enough on the road.
Yeah, and now you've got these people driving 90, 100 miles down the interstate. Just whipping in and out of traffic. You know, it's dangerous out there.
70. I take 70.
I'm going to get one of those permit drivers for my rear window,
yes.
I think. Just because I am a really bad driver. And people, maybe you'll give the old guy a break out there.
Are you guys, so we come into the city, and if you're not in the city much, this probably won't apply to you as much. But because you know there's not as much police presence, are you bending the rules at all more? Like, are you willing to kind of like fudge a red light here and there more?
I may or may not.
You can't admit it on the radio.
I cannot disclose.
I will tell you what I do for sure. If I'm ever working a late shift here downtown, like election night, sometimes we'll be here till 1 a.m. or something, mm-hmm. and you're leaving the building at 1 a.m. here. There are no red lights, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah.
I have yet to do anything like that. And I don't know why, but every time I'm downtown, there is always a cop near. And thank God for it. I'm happy for that. But especially when it comes to traffic, there is always a police officer somewhere that if I were to run that red or if I didn't make a complete stop, I know my butt would be grass. I've heard that
because we've talked about this before, that when you have less police and crime sort of goes up, the police have to focus on bigger crime.
Yep.
So
yeah.
they're not focusing on people running red lights as much anymore, which is why I asked the question, if it's in the back of your mind, like, well, and you and I have talked about it off air, that there's just so many more homeless people around.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that's seasonal. It's summer, you know, like mm-hmm. people in the winter, you're not going to be out on the streets as much. But it just seems to me like so much more now that it's not just that there's a lot more homeless people out, that they're, I don't want to say more aggressive,
they're
but they're
daring.
Certainly more daring.
Yeah.
Like, they're not being aggressive with me. And maybe it's because I'm a, you know, almost 40-year-old guy and I don't look like, a, you know, I have a gun, you know, like, don't come near me. But it does make you kind of like not want to stop at the lights as much because there's just that uncomfortable feeling, too, of somebody staring at you holding a sign. You're like, man, I'm not going to.
And they're coming up to the car.
They're coming up to the car.
And that happens to me so much more because I'm taking 70 to get to work.
Uh-huh.
So my way into the city, it is like, you know.
Down Tucker.
And it's so sad because, you know, you just, there's nothing that you can really do. You don't know what to do. But there are many homeless people coming up to my car, knocking on the window or stopping in front of me to give me a wave or, you know, give me a signal of like, I need this or I need that. And I'm like, lock the doors. Just keep on doing your thing. Just keep going. Because, that didn't happen to me often.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to me often.
Well, we're going to talk about crime later this hour. I've got some very strong opinions about what's happening in the city of St. Louis, and it's not good. But that's not as happy of a note as what our good friend Wiggins is about to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So you win this contest.
Yes.
What was it?
It was my name in a fishbowl at some company function we had a couple weeks ago that I, you know, you just see the piece of paper and you're like, well, I write my name on that piece of paper because there's a fishbowl next
Never
to
won
it.
Anything in my life, not
well,
even an election.
That's because you're not looking for the fishbowl. You got to find the fishbowl
and
then find a scrap of paper. And then I usually don't win either. I mean, the odds are always against you. But I guess they grabbed my name out of this one. And I get to go down to the ballpark today. So I'll be kind of like in and out. I'm here with you now.
Right.
I'm gonna be out in a second. I'll be calling in from the field. I don't know, just for fun, just to like.
Yeah, I want to know what's going
check
on.
Check in and let you know what it's like and you know who I'm talking to because I don't know. There's gonna be at least some players or former players there, but I don't know who.
Do some interviews, man.
I'll get them on the phone and we'll call in and be like,
yeah,
look,
a second.
Here's what Pedro Guerrero thinks about the filibuster.
Maybe you can get some hitting tips from Paul. So you don't really know what this is, though. You might see live pitching. You might see a big league pitcher. It might be whatever.
Yeah, or it might be. I'm told that there are at least some former players there,
or current
players. Current players would be great. If I don't know if that actually can happen or not. I don't know if they're on the road or whatever right now.
No, they're back.
Are they?
Yeah.
So maybe that can happen. But I'm headed down there. So I talk about Andrea's Restaurant a lot in my commercials. So my friend Max from Andrea's Restaurant is joining me down there.
How about that sauce?
Very cool.
Yeah. So he's waiting for me in the parking lot right now.
Hi, Max.
And we're going to head down there in just a minute. And honestly, we don't know what to expect, and so that's why we're going to call in and just kind of have some
fun.
But
even being on the field,
how cool.
That is so cool. You and I talked about this. That is such an amazing feeling to just be there and to just look at the stadium from that perspective.
There is something special about growing up in St. Louis that I hope, you know, if you're listening to this, like, you know, without me even saying what that is, that when you go to a ball game, like, there's something just neat about being either close to, or if you've ever gotten to experience like being on the field, like your kid got to do one of the national anthem things or walk around the edge, you know. But this is a little bit different. This is why I'm excited more than anything. That I've never gotten to be like, I've gotten on to like where the edge of the field.
Yeah, right.
And but the groundskeepers, like, they keep you
off the grass. Off the grass.
Yeah, they keep you kind of cattled in.
Yeah.
And in this, they don't. Like, you get to run around and just sort of like,
cool.
I'm just going to run around and just start tearing up grass.
Go in the dugout.
Like, what do you think of that?
Oh,
that's
man.
What you get for letting this me win the fishbowl prize.
This would be a dream come true for me. About the third swing, though, they'd be calling 911.
Yeah. But, I'm a little nervous on that front.
So I'm excited for you, buddy. I think it's going to be a memory that you'll never forget. And I want you to really focus, concentrate on that ball, and just rip a nice, strong single. Are you right-handed or left-handed batter?
I am a left-handed batter.
But I throw
right-handed.
So is that right?
Yeah.
Huh. Crazy. You know, there's a few ball players in history that have had that exact same circumstance.
Okay.
And maybe Ryan Wiggins will be the next.
I mean, that's what we're hoping, is that there's a talent scout out there today, and they go, wait a minute.
This is tryouts, actually.
I know you're almost 40, but I think you got a little juice left in the tank, buddy.
Well, look at the Pujols. I mean, he's 41, and look what he's doing.
Well,
so if he can do it, so can you.
A little earlier and had achieved more than me at that time.
Well, that's Ryan Wiggins. He's going to be at the ballpark. He's going to check in with us later. He's going to have a very exciting afternoon. Unfortunately, he won't be here with us, but we will hear from him later. We've got a big show today, thanks to Katie. She's put it all together. Zach Smith, who's from the Heritage Foundation, going to talk about the Supreme Court. You know, some interesting rulings last week in the 6-3 supposed conservative court may not quite be delivering everything we had hoped for or expected. We're going to talk crime. Stephen Moore is going to join us. The threat of inflation is real. It's a tax increase brought to us from President Joe Biden and his cohorts in Congress. Senator Jason Plummer from Illinois is going to join us. A big, big day right here on the Annie Fry Show. I'm John Hancock. Delighted to be with you. We'll be back after this on 97.1.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In my head. You got to love a little friend. That's excellent work, Katie. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Supreme Court, a couple of big rulings last week, and some folks in the conservative legal circles were a little bit surprised. We started with the Affordable Care Act, where on a 7-2 vote, they basically said that the case did not have standing to even be heard in the Supreme Court. So I wanted to get some expert opinion, and we found just the man. Zach Smith, he's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and he joins us right now on our – do we have a guest line sponsor?
We do not.
Oh, we do not have a guest line sponsor on 97.1. Well, perhaps we can fix that. Anyway, Zach Smith, welcome aboard. How are you, partner?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
So, you know, so much trial and tribulation to get Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Amy Coney Barrett confirmed in the United States Senate. So many alarm sounds from the left that this was going to be the end of civilization as we know it, and the court's going to become this radical element. We're not seeing that right now.
No, we're absolutely not seeing that. You know, during Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings, we heard that her confirmation would all but guarantee the end to Obamacare, the end to, you know, abortion rights for women as they know it. And so far, that has not played out. You know, from a practical political point, I think that's good for conservatives because it showed that a lot of what was said and what was happening during the confirmation was just, you know, attempts to inflame their base on the Democratic side. On a slightly more hesitant note for conservatives, you know, we've been seeing good results coming out of the court for the most part over the past several weeks. But unfortunately, some of those decisions, including the Obamacare decision, including the Fulton v. City of Philadelphia decision, mm-hmm. which involved the free exercise rights of Catholic social services, those didn't go quite as far as I would have liked them to have gone, and I'm sure as you know, many other conservatives would have liked it as well. So, look, bottom line, we're in a much better place than if we did not have Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett on the court. But, you know, we haven't seen quite the rib-rocked conservative decisions that I think many of us would like to have seen.
Yeah, you know, Sam Alito's been a rock star on all of these decisions.
100%.
He's really kind of taken that, you know, you don't want to compare him to Scalia, but the kind of Scalia type, and his opinions are entertaining to read as well. He's really been a rock star.
100%. You know, Justice Clarence Thomas gets a lot of praise, and rightly so. But I think, you know, for my money, the most underappreciated justice on the court right now is Justice Alito. He has been absolutely solid and, in my view, correct on many of the religious liberty cases that have come before the court. He was correct in many of the, you know, COVID-related cases that have come before the court this past year. And for anyone that has not read his concurrence in the Fulton v. City of Philadelphia case, I encourage you, go read it. It's lengthy. It's a heavy reading. You know, it's not light reading material, but he does a great job explaining his views. He does a great job laying out why he thinks the majority in that case did not go far enough. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm hopeful when the court, you know, inevitably revisits this issue again in the future, that the justices at that time will realize that, Sam Alito was right on the money in his concurrence.
Yeah, he's the real deal. Zach Smith is our guest. He's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, expert on the Supreme Court. On the Affordable Care Act, on Obamacare, the court really was, it was a narrow rule. And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, they basically argued, the majority argued, that because the penalties were removed from the mandate, and so there was no harm, according to the majority, that there was no standing to take up the case. Is that in sum what they said?
More or less. It's a very convoluted opinion. You know, 7-2, it was written by Justice Stephen Breyer. And again, it was Justice Alito with Justice Gorsuch in the dissent in this case. But essentially, you know, the court in this Obamacare case, they didn't reach the merits of the case. They didn't address the constitutionality of the individual mandate or of Obamacare as a whole. They basically said that these parties were not the appropriate ones to be bringing this lawsuit and that they didn't have standing. They didn't have the ability to bring this suit in federal court. And so, unfortunately, you know, it's essentially sending the case back to the drawing board where someone, you know, will try to find someone who does have standing, who is the appropriate party to bring this case. And, you know, even though it seems like this Obamacare saga is never ending at this point, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of it. We'll likely see, you know, future challenges being brought.
I think it's safe to say that for a lot of conservatives, Chief Justice John Roberts has been something of a disappointment. He's proven himself to be a real institutionalist on the court and kind of a minimalist in the sense that he doesn't want seemingly to go so far. And that Fulton case v. Philadelphia is a really quintessential example of that. The court could have made a sweeping religious liberty decision, and they instead very narrowly drew their opinion. Explain that to us.
Yeah, they did. So look, the outcome in this case was a phenomenal outcome, and it was unanimous. The city of Philadelphia violated the free exercise rights of Catholic Social Services. Basically, Philadelphia said, we're not going to allow Catholic Social Services to, you know, function in a foster care or adoption placement capacity because they won't place children with same-sex couples, because obviously that violates the core tenets of their faith. Now, I think it's worth noting here that Catholic Social Services, although they themselves would not place children with same-sex couples, which, by the way, no same-sex couple had ever come to Catholic Social Services and asked for a placement through them, but Catholic Charities had a policy in place that what they would do is simply refer those couples to a different organization who would place the child. But the way the court resolved this case, they reached the right outcome, but they didn't. They basically dodged the bigger question, the question that Justice Alito wrote at length about that he would have resolved favorably to Catholic Social Services. And it's basically this. It's how closely will courts scrutinize government actions that restrict or infringe on the free exercise rights of citizens? And so the way the court resolved this case, a very deferential standard is still left in place. Basically, as long as the law is generally applicable, that's not targeting religion or religious activities and treating them differently, the courts really won't take a close look at it, at that. Justice Alito said, look, that's wrong. Anytime the government seeks to burden, substantially burden someone's free exercise rights, they better have a very compelling reason for doing it, and they should seek to achieve their goals in the least restrictive way possible. And if they don't, the courts should strike down that law or that action. And so I think we'll see this same debate coming back to the court again. We may even see it in the, with these same parties, Catholic Social Services and the City of Philadelphia. And so I don't think this is the last word we've heard on this case. But again, I think Justice Alito had the better of the argument in this case.
Hey, before I let you go, Zach Smith, the legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, there's an abortion case just around the corner that the court's going to deal with. Kind of frame that up for us, and what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, this is a huge case. It's Dobbs v. Jackson. It's out of Mississippi. Basically, individuals are challenging some of the abortion-related restrictions, abortion-related protections that Mississippi has put in place. And so a lot of legal commentators think this may be the case where the court begins to reevaluate Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, and really, you know, walk back a lot of their abortion-related jurisprudence. So this case is a huge one. It has a lot of interest on both the pro-choice and pro-life sides of the aisle. And, you know, it's one I really encourage everyone to pay attention to as the court considers it next term.
Supreme Court, I love following it. It's always fascinating. You are always fascinating, Zach Smith. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you again on 97.1.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Katie, the Supreme Court, I think it's fair to say that some conservatives are a little bit disappointed in some of these rulings. Now, to Zach's point, by and large, the court is performing well. And as a safeguard institution, if you think about between Biden and the wackiness that he's doing and having the Democrats in charge of both houses of Congress, thank the Lord that the Supreme Court has not drifted off into liberal la-la land. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to follow. This abortion case is going to be fascinating.
I think it is specifically Justice Roberts. I think a lot of people have had some issue with him and his decisions and his rulings. But this is a win for conservatives because it is the majority. And it's a win for those who voted for Trump specifically for his ability to nominate those Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. And I think, you know, over time, because it's early in their tenure, I think both Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Barrett are going to distinguish themselves in their writing. And it's going to be really interesting to see as they get some experience on the bench and how they interact with the other justices. The great thing about the Supreme Court historically is that as polarized as our politics are, our partisan politics, and you look at Republicans and Democrats in Congress, the court has always throughout its history been able to maintain a certain collegiality that makes the institution work. You need to look no further than the relationship between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a beautiful example of how our Supreme Court institutionally has been able to work. I tend to think that that is John Roberts' principal interest in directing the court the way he is. And the reason that some, I think, conservatives are disappointed in him is because, you know, he is focused on that institution being functional and operating. And the fact that you'd have a 7-2 opinion with Stephen Breyer and Clarence Thomas on the same side is interesting. So, you know, on the one hand, I kind of see the frustration, but on the other hand, I'm kind of gratified that the Supreme Court as an institution continues to work.
Absolutely. I do have a question for you before we go to break.
Yeah.
Will all of that be destructed and destroyed if the left gets their way and would like to pack the court?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That the court packing scheme, which thank goodness Joe Manchin said he's not going for it. But if they would succeed in taking the court from 9 to, say, 13 members, that would be horrific and would deal. I mean, it would hasten the demise of this country. I mean, it's that significant, in my opinion. I'll tell you what else is significant is this crime problem we've got in St. Louis and the nutty ways our political leaders are trying to address it. We're going to talk about that when we come back on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. John Hancock is sitting in for Annie while she enjoys that new baby of hers. What a blessing that is. And we're wishing her the very, very best and good health and happiness. A family of six over there, I guess, now, huh?
Yep, wow. Four kids running around. She and Jared are doing what they can do.
Man, when you're out number 2-1, you better darn well be good at parenting.
They love it.
Wow, we had two. And that was a handful for me. My kids fought, man. Mm-hmm. We'd get in the car, and I've got a son and a daughter. And, I mean, they fought. And I am the most even-tempered person I know. I mean, I don't get angry, But, man, those kids, when we'd go on a trip somewhere, even just across town, if they were both in the back seat and they'd start in, they got to me a few times. I lost it.
They're close in age, correct?
3 years. 2.5.
Okay, so that's not super close. I usually hear that kids that are like a year and a half, maybe even reaching in the 2-year area, it's either they are stuck like glue, can't do anything without one another, or when they're kids, they're like, I am
so my my daughter comes in yesterday, you know, for Father's Day, and my son's already there, and she comes in, hugs to grandpa, hugs to grandma, hugs me, hugs my wife, and says, "Hi, Johnny."
I love it.
But they do love each other. And
they
hang out. Well, so, you know, I've been on a little bit of a slow boil ever since the inauguration of Mayor Tashara Jones in the city of St. Louis. And, you know, let's start here. The city of St. Louis, thanks to Biden, has got $500 million in federal money poured in here, okay? And it's money that they're going to, I guarantee you, they're going to waste it, they're going to squander it, they're going to, who knows, it may not even be, well, it's not going to be that helpful. And they've got $500 million, and yet they take $4 million from the police department at a time when crime is at an all-time high and a murder rate is at least a 50-year high in the city of St. Louis. And it, to me, this is so, it's just a repugnant approach that is going to do great harm and further erode the city. I will honestly tell you, I'm nervous every time I'm down here at night and sometimes even during the day. You know, I hang Michael, my radio partner, Michael Kelly, he's got an office down here downtown, and I'll occasionally hang out over there. And, you know, you're one driver away from driving by the building, rolling the window down, and that's the end of the ball game. You know, I mean, it's really kind of scary. And we're not prosecuting criminals. We're taking the money away from the police. And you know what's happening? The police are taking early retirement. They're finding other careers. We've lost over 80-some positions already this year, in the first quarter of the year, where on a typical 12-month year, you have a 40 or 50-person turnover. Think about that. And they're not replacing them. And even more insidious, they've taken away the overtime pay from these police officers. So I know because my dad was a warehouseman, and if he didn't have overtime, couldn't make it. Mm. Overtime, that time and a half that he got driving the forklift, is what was the difference between us being able to exist or being broke. And you think about these police officers, some of whom have been on the force for years. They build that overtime pay into their family budget. And then when you take that away, you've effectively given them a pay cut. Not to mention the fact that you're inviting criminals to go out and feel like there are no consequences. Well, not everyone feels that way. There is a reform activist, national police reform activist, a woman named Brittany Packnett Cunningham. She thinks a rise in crime is not the fault of the defunding the police. It's the fault of the police themselves. Here's what she had to say.
I think that there are a lot of police unions and GOP operatives that would like for us to believe that this recent crime wave has everything to do with this idea of defunding the police. But guess what, Stephanie? The police haven't been defunded. You actually look at the 50 largest cities' law enforcement spending as a share of the general expenditure in each of those cities actually rose slightly from 13.6% to 13.7%. And many of the cities that have talked about removing that money, like Minneapolis, in Seattle, they've actually paused or slowed how they were thinking about moving that money. So this rising crime is not the fault of the movement. It's actually the fault of the police. And this has been our point all along. Why should we keep funding systems and institutions that keep rendering themselves ineffective? We should be talking about gun control, livable wages, fair housing, education. That's where we should be moving the money to ensure truly safe streets.
Thanks, Brittany. You just can't be more wrong than that. And we are defunding the police in St. Louis. $4 million taken out of the budget. Overtime stopped. Open positions not being filled. 314-241-9797. How big of a deal is this for you? Are you reluctant to come downtown and enjoy maybe a Cardinal game or the other amenities that we have? You know, this is a great city, St. Louis. It really is. You think about what we have at the Symphony and the Fox Theater and all these different venues. The Stiefel Theater is another phenomenal venue. I'm afraid that folks, I live in Chesterfield, I'm afraid that folks out my way are going to say, I don't think so. I don't feel safe down there. And, you know, it's a real problem. It's just a real problem.
Yeah, we talk about this often because we just revamped Union Station. And what a cool, spectacular thing they've done. That no one was using or occupying Union Station for the longest time. Yeah. Hardly anybody ever went in. Now they have the aquarium. They have amazing restaurants. They have such attractive features for you to come downtown, for you to bring your family downtown to try and get some life back in here, to try to put some money back into the economy to get us going again. But it's sad because I think there's so many people out in the counties that are saying to themselves, well, I know the aquarium is awesome. I know that they have a really cool place for ice cream. But why would I want to bring my kids and my family into an area that, as you just described before, it takes one bullet, it takes one time. And it's happening too frequently. It's happening too often.
And it's happening to kids.
To kids.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to give a darn about what's happening to those poor kids, except for the police officers who we are defunding in the city.
And let's while we're at it, let's close the jail. Let's take the workhouse and where we've got. And these aren't you know, drug offenders or deadbeat dads in the workhouse. These are folks, armed criminal action, murder, rape. I mean, these are serious criminals in there. And now we're going to move those prisoners to the city jail, which is at 95% capacity. We're going to ship the rest of them off to God knows where. And we're going to close the workhouse. Why? Because, according to the mayor, it was not a very pleasant environment. But you know, every member of the Board of Aldermen that went in there in the last 60 days has come out and said that the city workhouse was a perfectly acceptable correctional institution. Yeah, every single one. And these are Democrats. These aren't, you know, there are no Republican members of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis. This is a scourge, and it's getting worse, and it's feeding a national narrative about St. Louis that is very unhelpful.
Well, and I don't think we've actually been able to shake that narrative ever since Ferguson. I don't think we've ever been able to recover and, you know, bring some joy or some optimism back to the city ever since Ferguson. So now we've been trying to do that, and now it's been made incredibly difficult. I'm not sure, what are your feelings about what's happening, Mayor Jones, what she's been doing?
Well, she's doing what she said she was going to do, which is commendable at that level, I suppose. But what she's doing is going to do long-term damage to the city. And it was just 4 years ago where the voters of the city passed by 60% a bill to put a half a cent sales tax for the police. And if you look at where that thing passed, it passed in North St. Louis. And in North St. Louis, why? Because there's crime up there, and the people who live there need the police. They want the police. They support the police. It's these progressives that are trying to save the world from whatever that are opposed to supporting the police. Look, there are bad officers There
Absolutely.
Are. And, you know, and there's bad radio hosts. Mm-hmm. Might be listening to one right now. Yeah, I mean, there's bad people in every profession out there. But that doesn't define the profession. And by and large, the folks that go into law enforcement are there to protect and to serve. And they've got a job to do, and they want to keep our communities safe. Why? Because they live in those communities, and they want criminals off the streets. And so if you've got a situation where you don't have police, a presence because they don't have the numbers, and they're not getting supported by the prosecutor because the prosecutor's not following through and putting people in jail, that's a recipe for anarchy. And we're getting dangerously close to that. These folks driving up and down the streets and the drive-by shootings, stray bullets hitting kids. I mean, all of that's happening in our city, and that news goes out nationally. So now imagine yourself an owner of a business. And you're trying to recruit somebody, and you've got this growing business. Maybe you're out of Cortex, and you've got a high tech business that's really starting to boom. And what you need is talent. You need programmers and top line IT people. Well, so you go out and you cast a nationwide net to go recruit. And here's a great job. It pays $130,000 a year. It's in St. Louis, Missouri. Oops, sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm. What have you got, you know, what have you got in Nashville for me? And that's the reality of where we are.
I mean, and you come into the city every day. I'm here every single day. And the listeners know there's so many businesses. I mean, it has to do with the pandemic, but even before the pandemic, that the doors were shut and locked. Every window had cardboard up. Nobody wanted to reopen their business after the pandemic. But it was a little bit of that and a lot of bit of the crime. And it's hard because I want this city to thrive. I love St. Louis.
Me too.
I think we're all here for a reason. It's just so hard to think about what we can do next to make it happen, to make it be better.
So you're from a large family, right? Mm-hmm. How many siblings?
I have two older siblings. Uh-huh. I have so many cousins.
Are they
the
here?
Wazoo.
Are your siblings here?
Yes. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
My kids are both here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's becoming rarer and rarer and rarer. I think about the friends of my kids that were in high school and college with them, and the majority of them have moved to Denver, or they've moved to Austin, or you know, all these happening cities out there. And, you know, it used to be, I'm a sixth generation Missourian.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, you know, we tend to stay here. My my ancestors, they immigrated from Tennessee in 1830 something, and they decided to become farmers, and they settled in Pulaski County, Missouri, which is the hilliest, rockiest ground in the state. I mean, you can't grow anything out. I mean, this is how brilliant the Hancocks were. So they tried farming for a couple of generations. That didn't work out, and they ended up in St. Louis, and we've been here ever since.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, I come from a background of farmers as well.
We all do. Most of us are two or three generations removed from the farm, if you think about it.
Because Missouri is just plains. It's just plains.
Yeah, and it's great farmland, except for where my people decided to farm.
We won't hold it against them.
I'll tell you, my great-great-great-grandmother, there was a... What a looker. I'm telling you, man. I think I get my good looks from my great-great-great-grandmother. What was her name? Nancy. Nancy Anderson Lipscomb Hancock. A lot going on there. So there you have it. Well, what have we got next hour, Katie? Oh, Stephen Moore's going to join
us. Moore. Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's a senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about inflation. I contend this is the first wave of the Biden tax increases, the inflation we're experiencing right now. He's going to join us. And State Senator Jason Palmer, my buddy from the east side over there in Illinois, he's going to join us. He's in the 54th District of the Illinois State Senate. A great guy, and we'll be back after this. Katie Fitzpatrick, John Hancock, Ryan Wiggins is hitting the ball out of Busch Stadium as we speak. We'll hear from him as well. Coming your way right here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.